Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In Genesis, God made a promise to Abraham. This promise is the greatest blessing spoken of in Scripture. Yet it was only intended for the seed, that is, the son of Abraham. Are we, the New Testament believers, therefore excluded from this rich blessing? Don't miss today's life study of the Bible with Witness Lee. A marvelous unfolding of one of the most hidden chapters in the entire Bible awaits us on our program today, and we're fortunate to have Francis Ball in the studio to be a part of this fellowship from Galatians chapter 3. Welcome back, Francis.
Thank you. Very good to be here today.
Francis, we want to look at an item that appears in Galatians 3, a chapter that we've already mentioned, and Witness Lee has told us is one of the most difficult in the Bible to understand fully. The point today has to do with the blessing of promise given to Abraham way back in Genesis. God speaking to Abraham was a marvelous prophecy that the Apostle Paul picks up in Galatians 3:16. But to Abraham were the promises spoken and to his seed. He does not say, and to the seeds as concerning many, but as concerning one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Francis, we saw earlier this week just what this blessing promised to Abraham and his seed was. I wonder if you would review for our listeners today who have not been following along all week.
Well, if we consider going back to Genesis, we see that that promise, as you mentioned, was given to Abraham and it concerned his seed. But we don't find out what that significance is for us, to include us, until we get to the New Testament and we hear how the Apostle Paul applies this. And here we find out that that promised blessing is to the seed, and that that seed is Christ. Christ himself is the seed that was promised. That's the reason it says, not of many, but of one, because it was to that seed, Christ, that the promise was made, and also the promise is fulfilled by Christ. A promiser usually fulfills his promise himself. But here, God made the promise, but Christ is the fulfiller of that promise, and also Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. And we see him mentioned here as Christ, the one seed, the unique seed, but also we see that this Christ, this blessing, is also the Spirit. Christ is now the Spirit, as the promise that was made to Abraham long before the law of Moses was given.
Well, Francis, when we read verse 16, the promise was given, as you said, to the one seed of Abraham. But Paul clearly says, as you also identified, that the seed is Christ. Now, the confusion comes in when we add verse 29. And if you are of Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. Seems like a paradox, Francis. One seed, but eventually many heirs. Let's join Witness Lee for today's message.
In this chapter, chapter 3 of Galatians, one hard point for nearly all the readers to understand is the seed, not the seeds, and the sons, not the son. The seed is singular, and the sons are plural. This is somewhat hard for the readers to get into the real significance. Why? Because concerning the promised inheritance, God promised to Abraham, there are these two sides. One side is to fulfill the promise. And the other side is to partake of, to enjoy the promise. To fulfill the promise is one thing. To enjoy the blessing of the promise is another thing. Now, with this promise by God to Abraham, God, strictly speaking, is not the fulfiller. The fulfiller is the seed, singular. And this seed is Christ. This seed, Christ, fulfills God's promise to Abraham. In fulfilling the promise God gave to Abraham, not many sins partake in this matter. Not many sins. Only one seed. Only one seed fulfilled the promise of God to Abraham. But in the enjoyment of the blessing of this promise, it is not just one seed, but many sons. One seed who is the fulfiller, and many sons who are the enjoyers. To fulfill the promise, that is the business of this unique seed. But to enjoy the blessing of this promise is the what? Portion of all so many sons. Let's first see the seed. The seed, on the one hand, is the heir to inherit the promise. Christ inherited the promise. This is not the crucial point. Christ, as the seed of Abraham, is mainly for the fulfillment of the promise. Christ, as the unique seed, is not only to inherit the promise, but to fulfill the promise. Yes, God promised, but eventually God didn't become the fulfiller. God didn't fulfill the promise to Abraham, but the seed, Christ. In the fulfillment of the promise, you and I have no part. You and I cannot partake in the fulfillment of the promise. Only Christ was the unique one, the unique seed who fulfilled the promise God gave to Abraham. In this aspect, the seed is uniquely one. But in the enjoyment, the seed becomes many, becomes many sons.
Francis, this may seem a little confusing, but the main point really comes down to this. The promise is fulfilled by the one, Christ. Yet the enjoyment of the blessing of that promise is by the many. Francis, who are the many heirs that enjoy this blessing?
Oh, that's us, Chris. That's you, that's me, that's all our believers. All of those who have been believers in Christ, who have received Christ as grace and have responded to Him, they are the seed. We get all the blessing because we are not only sons of God, but we're also sons of Abraham. Because that promise was given to Abraham long before the law was given. And it was intended that that promise would be fulfilled in Christ the seed, and that Christ would be multiplied so that many would be the sons of God and be the sons of Abraham. So we are both sons of Abraham by faith, and we're sons of God. So we're participants. Thank the Lord. This did not exclude us. It includes us. We are the many sons.
Francis, this reminds me a little bit of our life study of Romans, particularly when we got to chapter 8 and verse 29. Initially, of course, from John 3:16, there was just the one son, the only begotten son. But by Romans 8:29, this one becomes the firstborn among many brothers. Is this a similar concept and passage?
I believe this really is very close to the same thing, or is actually the same thing, because we get stuck on this presentation of Christ as the only begotten Son of God, and many Christians have never seen beyond what Christ has really accomplished is not only to be the only begotten Son of God, given as a gift by God to man, for man, to fulfill God's purpose, but that he also went through death, resurrection, and became the firstborn Son of God. To be the firstborn means there's many more. So in that resurrection, there are many, many, many sons of God who are the followers, who are the following ones from the firstborn. So he's the firstborn, and we're the many sons.
Well, Francis, in this coming section, we're going to see how we, the believers in Christ, are related to the Old Testament patriarch, Abraham, who we've been talking about today. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Based upon what principle we become sons of Abraham? Faith. Based upon the wonderful faith. How could we be real sons of Abraham? Because we believed in God. As we believed in God, that organic union transpired. The divine life entered into our being. So we were born of God. We were not born of Abraham, but we were born of God. The process God entered into our being. To be our life. Amen. And this life is divine, and this life is spiritual, and this life is heavenly, and this life is also holy. Such a life entered into our being. So we had a birth transpired in our being. And these birds produced the organic union. How could we be the sons of God? Because now we are in Christ.
Amen.
And Christ is the Son of God. So we are in the Son of God. We all become the sons of God. Okay. As the sons of God, how we could be the sons of Abraham? Because we are in Christ. Why? Christ is both the Son of God and the Son of Abraham.
Amen.
When we are in Christ, we are both the Son of God and the Son of Abraham. It is not a small thing to have this organic union. We are the sons of God as well as the sons of Abraham. We are the sons of Abraham as well as the sons of God. It's all together due to this one thing, organic union. And this organic union is altogether transpired in Christ.
Amen.
Where are you now?
In Christ.
In Christ. Here in Christ, there is a wonderful organic union. In this organic union, on the one hand, we are the sons of God, and on the other hand, we are the sons of Abraham. The connecting key, the linking point, is Christ. Christ is the linking, crucial focus. When you get into this focus, you have everything. When you get into this focus, the linking Christ, you have the sonship of God, you have the sonship of Abraham. This is our real status. We are the sons of God as well as the sons of Abraham. Where? In Christ. By what? By this organic union. As I'm living this life, I am the son of God, and I am the son of my great, great father, Abraham. He was the unique seed, fulfilling, accomplishing even, the promise of God to Abraham. And I have been baptized into him. I and he, the two became one in a kind of organic union. In this organic union, I am the son of God, and I am the son of Abraham. And here, in this organic union, I just inherit all what he has fulfilled, all what he has accomplished. Actually, he himself becomes the very, what? The inheritance that I am now inheriting, that I am now enjoying.
Francis, for most of us, it's safe to say that at one time, before we were saved, we really had nothing to do with Christ and even less to do with Abraham. Yet somehow, by this one act of faith, believing in Christ, we become both the many sons of God and also the genuine sons of Abraham. And therefore, we're the heirs of the promise that was given to him. How can you explain the marvel of this organic union?
Well, the marvel is that it is an organic union. It's not a believing something that makes us just like we are now or just like we were before we were believers in Christ. But by believing in Christ, we saw already that that is a reaction. Our believing in Christ is a reaction to Christ coming to us as grace to be our life and our Savior, our Redeemer, and to be everything to us. So that our believing was something originated by God Himself by just coming to us as Christ in grace to impart Himself into us. And something happened in me when I heard about Christ, my Savior. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what happened in me. But through this ministry, I found out a lot happened that I was not aware of at that time. But I did experience. It's just as though this ministry came later in my life and explained to me all the things that had been happening and been going on that I could not describe, I could not identify. But I found out that I am not only a believer in Christ, saved by Him, but I am one with Him. I have been brought into Christ. I believed into Christ, and I was baptized into Christ. So I am one with Christ. I am one with this seed. I am a participant, and I'm an enjoyer of this blessing to Abraham.
Francis, from your testimony, it's clear that in Christ you are now also a son of God. How then also does that make you a son of Abraham?
Well, Chris, we, the New Testament believers, were born sons of fallen Adam. And in Adam, because of the transgressions, we were under the law of Moses. But we've been reborn. I was born again. I was born to become a son of Abraham. And I've been freed from the law of Moses by faith in Christ. So I'm a son of Abraham, not by my natural birth, but by faith. So my being a son of Abraham is based upon the principle of faith. We are Abraham's sons according to the principle of faith. You've heard, I'm sure, as many of our listeners have, that Abraham is called the father of faith. Well, that's the reason he's called the father of faith, because when we are born anew, born again by faith in Christ, we become not only the sons of God, but we are also the sons of Abraham, to be the enjoyers of the promise given to Abraham.
Francis, it's a very good recap of Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. It simply says, "Know then that they who are of faith, these are sons of Abraham." Let's go back to Witness Lee.
I would just give you a brief sketch of this chapter. This chapter actually tells us that what God intended to do is, firstly, He gave the promise to Abraham concerning his eternal purpose. Before this promise was accomplished, on the way there was a temporary need of the law. So God gave the law to help the foolish chosen people,
right,
and to put them into the best custody.
Right.
to keep them for such a long period. It's about 1517 years to keep them. Then, at the appointed time, the promised seed, which was Christ, came. And he came as the fulfiller, to fulfill God's promise. When he came, the fulfillment of God's promised blessing also came. And this is the grace. So grace also came. This is on God's side. Then on our side, we need some organ. We need some function to realize, to apprehend, or to grasp all what this seed has accomplished. In other words, we need an organ, we need a function to take in all the grace. And this organ and this function is our faith. So, when this seed came to accomplish the fulfillment of God's promise, grace came on God's side, and faith also came on our side. And now, as grace came, and as faith came, and as the promised seed came to fulfill the promise, the law, the custodian, is no more of any need. It is no more needed. So this law must be put aside, must be out of the way, must be out of the picture, out of the scenery, out of the view. We have to put this custodian aside and stay with the fulfiller, and stay with the fulfillment, and stay with the grace, and stay with the faith. And here we are included in the unique seed who fulfilled the promise. And here, as we are in him, we are the heirs, inheriting all the fulfillment and enjoying all the blessing promised to Abraham. And the enjoyment is altogether the enjoyment of the processed triune God, the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit.
Francis, it's probably not possible for you or me to give a more clear and concise summary of this very deep chapter than we just heard. So rather than repeat something that we probably would not do justice to, let me ask you simply to comment on the last point of his summary, and that is, as the heirs, our portion is simply the enjoyment of the processed triune God as the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit.
And isn't that wonderful, Chris? We are the enjoyers. The fulfillment was accomplished by Christ, and Christ is the fulfillment, and he is our enjoyment. He is the life-giving spirit, giving life to us all the time. So we are here just as the enjoyers of all that God promised to Abraham. In its spiritual significance, we are now the enjoyers, and we are organically one with Christ, who is the fulfiller of the promise, and who himself is the fulfillment of the promise.
Francis, it's so easy for us to get distracted, it seems, with so many things and so many other approaches or things that we consider vital to the Christian life. If we could all the time just be brought back to this simple point, how much better off we would be, just to be the receivers and the enjoyers of the One. Before we go quickly, let me point out that we have this volume, volume number one of the Life Study of Galatians, available. Please contact us. I'm Chris Wilde. I'd like to thank Francis Ball for joining us today, and also like to thank you very much for listening.